fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I hope you had a chance to tune into the program this last week. I've been looking at the last couple of days, actually, looking at the martyrdom and the stoning of St. Stephen. Stephen is the first martyr of the church, and I think offers us a great meditation. We're in this fantastic season of the year, celebrating, really, continuing to bask in the radiance and the wonder of the resurrection of Jesus. And we see now the church gives us the readings from Acts of the Apostles as the church goes forward, filled with the Holy Spirit, and begins to grow. It grows by proclaiming the gospel, by standing up and testifying to the truth of who Jesus is. Faith comes through hearing, and what's heard is the word of God, is what St. Paul tells us. In Romans and in 1 Corinthians, he states very clearly that God has decided through the foolishness of what we preach, that is the foolishness of what? Of a crucified Messiah, of Jesus coming in the flesh, of one who was crucified and died and rose again. To the world, this is complete foolishness. But to us who are being saved, Paul says, this is the power of God. The cross of Christ that cleanses us from all sin, the resurrection of Jesus Christ that makes it possible for us to pass from death to life, to become sons and daughters of God, the outpouring and gift of the Holy Spirit. Paul says this sounds like foolishness, but this reality, the crucifixion of Jesus, his death on the cross, calling human beings one heart at a time to repentance and receiving the forgiveness of their sins, forgiveness of our sins, this is at the heart of the church's mission. This is what the church exists to do. To offer the world salvation. Offer salvation. People say, well, how can I be saved? And the apostles are very clear. It's very simple. Repent. First, believe in Jesus Christ, his claims that he's risen from the dead. Believe what we tell you, the apostles say, what we bear witness to. If you want to be saved, come to the one who can save you. Who's the one who can save you? Jesus Christ, God's only Son. Come to him. Believe in him. Believe in him, repent of your sins. That is, you're missing the mark, you're choosing your own path, you don't know God, you're stuck in your sins, you're stuck in your own way of life, no matter how comfortable it seems, or no matter how wonderful it seems to you. If you don't know God, you're missing the mark. If you're not living for God, if you haven't laid hold of the purpose of your life that's given to you by God, and that purpose is revealed perfectly in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus comes to make known, unequivocally and totally making clear to each and every one of us, why am I here? Where have I come from? Where am I going? What's the meaning of my life? How can I be happy? How can I reach fulfillment? What kind of guidance and wisdom should I give to my children, my family, about what this is all about? How can we be saved? All those questions are answered in the person of Jesus. And the apostles say, believe in him. Repent of your sins. How do you believe? You turn from your former way of life. You turn from a life where God's not at the center of your life and turn toward God and put Jesus at the center of your life, where your life is no longer your own. You belong now to another. He's the one who's going to lead you, and you follow him because he calls you to follow him. He said, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. You're following him because he's the light. He's the truth about you, about who you are, why you're here, the purpose of your life. So the apostles say, believe in him, believe in his word. Show forth your belief by turning from your former way. Repent. Receive Jesus' diagnosis of your life. Be baptized. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and come into his church. That's what he wants for you. That's what he wants for each and every one of us. What we saw yesterday, the last couple of days, is the record from the Acts of the Apostles of the stoning of Stephen, the martyrdom of St. Stephen. One of the things I mentioned there as we went through it was how common persecution was for Christians in the early church. It wasn't a surprise to them, and the apostles regularly taught about it. And they wanted the brethren, the new believers who were following them, following the Lord, to understand what Jesus had told the apostles and to help them see the biblical worldview and the biblical worldview in part about the world, for example, that we literally inhabit in this beautiful creation that God has made, in this wonderfully good thing God has done, in his awesome creation, in our participation in it. There's a dimension of this good creation that's fallen, that resists God, that's really hostile to God. And that hostility is an expression of a dominion, of the domination of the world by a very serious power, Satan himself, that resists God. And the earth is a battlefield. And the battle is for souls, and the devil seeks to enslave eternal souls, that is, human beings, made by God in the image and likeness. He's come to mar that image and to enslave it, and what God has made for good, God has made creatures in his image and likeness, Satan has come to enslave them. That's the truth. It sounds fanciful, it sounds crazy today. People think to believe that there's a real devil, you have to be a little bit kooky to believe in something like that. But that's the clear teaching of the scripture. It's the unequivocal and consistent teaching of Jesus and the apostles and the saints and the church throughout 2,000 years of history. That's the world we inhabit. And the reason there's resistance and hostility, the reason there is persecution to those who are radically given over to Jesus. I mean, generally people who are baptized but who are living in the world still and are not yet conformed to Christ and have one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world and are double dipping or compromised and not radically given over to Jesus, they're no threat to the devil. They're just no threat. Lukewarm Catholics, lukewarm Christians are no threat to the kingdom of darkness. So he'll pretty much leave you alone. He'll just lead you down the path of continuing to pursue our pleasures, whatever makes you happy and feel good. He'll just keep serving it up. You're not a threat to him. So he's not going to persecute you. He's just going to seduce you, and he's going to seduce you into slavery that to you feels good, but eventually is going to lead to your eternal death and separation from God forever. And you'll be under his thumb, you'll be under the heel of the enemy for all eternity. What Jesus has done, what the apostles are showing, what we see with St. Stephen, is that those who are given over to Jesus, those who have Christ at the center of their life, and those who are willing to live and to bear witness, to where their faith and their whole life are in harmony. Nobody's perfect, but those who are radically committed to Jesus, there is no separation between faith and life. It's not a thing that I just hold inside, but how I live no differently than people around me. Those who follow Jesus live radically different because they know him, because their passion is to love him and to obey him. And when someone is radically given over to Jesus, so much so, like Stephen and others, they're not afraid to die. They're not afraid of what will come against them. And they actually know that the resistance that comes against them is a good thing. It's a gift. It's a grace to be able to participate in the suffering of Christ. Beautiful passage I read earlier this week from 1 Peter chapter 4. Here's Peter instructing a small little Christian community that's emerging in Asia Minor, but it's up against tremendous resistance and persecution and trial. Peter says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you." Don't be surprised at the various trials that come against you, but rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's sufferings. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed. Think about that. That's the mind of an apostle. You are blessed. They understand that this world is passing away. As big and as powerful and as important as it all looks, its days are numbered. So are mine. It's going to pass away. What will never pass away is God's word and the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. The world, in its resistance to God, friends, has already been judged on the cross of Jesus Christ. All resistance to the King, to his will, ultimately will be condemned, and everyone who resists God is going to be destroyed, Scripture says. It's very clear. It's very simple. So the apostles aren't afraid to suffer for the name, to be insulted, to be laughed at, to be mocked, ultimately to be persecuted and even martyred. We're living at a time here in the United States that many of us have never experienced before. There's a rising, open, public hostility to Christ, to the claims of Christianity, to the claims of Jesus, and to his way of life that for a long time has had a huge impact on our country. It's helped shape the way we look at civilization and how we ought to live. Christians know you can't separate, we cannot separate what we believe with how we live. And when we do separate those things, we repent and we say, look, I'm hypocritical, I'm not living it. I want to be an authentic, integrated disciple of Jesus Christ. I don't come to impose my views on everybody. I simply come to propose the truth by how I live, and where I can as a responsible citizen, I want to defend what's ought to be defended. For example, the unborn, the sick and the dying. I want to defend marriage and the truth of it as God brought it. Why? Because I'm a bad person? Why do I want to defend the unborn because I have some kind of enmity against women? Not at all. I understand the dignity of women. I also understand the dignity of that child. I can't deny it. It's a fact. It's a truth. And despite the fact that the culture, so many voices in the culture rise up against and say, oh, you are basically a woman hater, or you fail to see the suffering, and all you do is impose your religion on my womb. All that silliness that's there. Those are lies. I'm not motivated by hatred or bigotry. I'm motivated by the truth. This is a human life. God gives life. That child is of infinite value. And the suffering a mother may endure to bring forth that child that she may not want, this can be for her an incredibly important time, a great blessing. But the world doesn't see it. And so the world wants to characterize those who stand for life, to marginalize them, to mock them, to ridicule them, whatever. Same thing with marriage. Those who stand to defend marriage between a man and a woman, meant to be a unity for life, to bring forth life. This is such a great and profound gift. Human sexuality has a design, a purpose. It's meant to bring a man and a woman together, to bond them and to become one flesh. And in that one flesh, love and radical commitment that mirrors the love and the unity of the Trinity, comes forth life, comes forth eternal creatures, comes forth the image of God in the world. But the world says, no, 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 no. You're a bigot. You're a hater. There's something wrong with you. When you stand for life, when you stand for marriage as God designed it, simply bearing witness to it, you stand for Christ. That's really true. You stand for Christ. Jesus spoke clearly to us what these realities are, and we have to be willing to stand and to be inspired like the apostles, who are willing to take whatever comes their way to bear witness to the truth. God bless you, friends. Let's do it together. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.